Psalm 42. I'm going to talk to you a little bit tonight about what I was going to talk to you about last week. And the Lord kind of redirected my steps last week, but brought me back to this, and I believe it fits well where we're at right now. And what we need, what attitude we need to have. Amen. And we know that attitude is important in life. It has a great deal to do with your perspective on things. And perspective has a lot to do, obviously, with the way you see the world and how you're going to respond to things. And, of course, obviously, that is hand in glove with your behavior. And, well, attitude affects a lot of things. And we ought to have, as Christians, the right attitude and right frame of mind. And especially as we go into revival, we won't have, ain't nothing going to happen. I like Brother Mann. He's a good man, has a good heart, and he's got a wonderful family, and he's a good preacher. Talks fast sometimes, but that's all right. Sometimes I talk too slow, so he'll make up for my slow talking. But his preaching ain't going to do us a bit of good unless we got the right frame of mind. And I'm praying that we get some souls saved. Man, I'd like to see some people get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and God to do something. Amen. Well, I hope you found Psalm 42. I trust you have while I was rambling there. Just a couple of verses here. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? I want to talk to you a little while about the doctrine of spiritual desire. Father, we thank You for Your many blessings. We thank You for the confidence that we have in You, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. It's life to us, Lord, and Your Spirit that's able to enlighten and illuminate the Word to our hearts and minds. I'm asking You to do that right now, Lord. Open the eyes of our understanding and lighten our minds to truth. Lord, move around these altars and do something in our hearts and lives for eternity's sake. Anoint Your servant in Jesus' name. We're going to give You the praise for it. Everybody said, amen. You can be seated again. Presence of the Lord. Now, you might wonder why the use of the word doctrine. Well, I like doctrine for one thing. And so that would be enough to put that in my title. But really, I've got another reason to have the doctrine of spiritual desire. The reason is that I'm afraid that we have in too many cases relegated spiritual desire into the category of the so-called optional accessories. Like going out and buying a car. I don't know how many of you ever went and bought a new car. I never have. So never been through this experience. My mom and dad did one time when I was a kid. And they went and purchased a car, and I didn't get to go with them. And one of the options that they opted out of was windows that rolled down in the back. That was a 78 Malibu. And windows didn't roll down in the back. They didn't know it, though, until they got as on the way home. And my dad's sister was sitting in the back seat, and she was getting kind of warm. She said, "Roger, there ain't no cranks back here to roll the window down." They examined that thing. Sure enough, it sure enough wouldn't roll down. Didn't have a tape player. Didn't have a lot of things. But optional accessories, CD player, power seats, heated mirrors. I mean, all kinds of things that, I mean, automatic light dimmers. You don't even have to worry about dimming your lights when somebody's coming up the road. And I mean, all kinds of optional accessories you can have. Well, some folks think in our spiritual life that there are optional accessories that go along with it. You know, of course, first, you got to be saved. But spiritual desire too many times has been relegated to that optional accessory category. You don't really have to have it to get to heaven. You don't really have to have it to be a Christian. I mean, if you got it, that's good and that's fine. But if you don't, well, it's all right. At least you're saved. Nowadays, it seems as though Christ can be received without creating a love for Him in the heart of the receiver. Amen. In today's modern religion, it's almost as if we can just accept Christ as our Savior. Amen. Receive Him into our hearts. But there's no love for Him created there in the heart of the believer. No passion for Christ. In other words, it seems that a person can be saved without being hungry and thirsty for God. Amen. There's been a lot of folks like that. Amen. That's why, and I don't remember now the statistics, but why Ray Comfort found out back in the early 70s that, what is it, 80% of all believers, or maybe it's more than that, of all people that got saved, amen, fell out? I mean, one denomination that he quoted, I don't remember, had some of these 230-something thousand converts in a year's time. They only retain somewhere around 12, 15,000. I mean, that's some, 215,000 people that backslid. People that will probably never come back to God because they tried it and it didn't work for them. People that are in worse shape than if they'd have never even heard the gospel. They'd have been better off if nobody even told them about getting saved. Then they've gotten saved and fell out. You see, what happened was, is they accepted Christ in their heart, but they didn't get no hunger and thirst for Him. It's become an optional accessory. Probably nothing disturbs me anymore as a pastor and a preacher than the lack of spiritual desire in the hearts of many Christians. Not just in the church that I pastor, though that is the first place that it concerns me. But the apathy throughout the church world, as I go from place to place, talk to other pastors, it disturbs me when folks aren't hungry for more of Jesus. It disturbs me whenever folks, and I'm not talking about it makes me mad, it does make me angry at the devil, but I mean it bothers me, it concerns me for their soul. Amen. When they're not hungry for more of the Lord. When folks will sit satisfied with their current condition, amen, for weeks and months and sometimes years on end. Some folks never moving forward in their spiritual experience. They've sat in the same place for years. I mean, they got saved and they spoke in tongues one time, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and they've had a couple of experiences, and what ends up happening is every revival, they repeat those experiences over and over again. They get deliverance over the same thing over and over again. They get blessed in the same area. That's the only thing. They just rerun experiences. But they never grow in the Lord. They never move forward in God. Amen. They never gain anything. That bothers me if I see it in my own life. Amen. If I can't look back and see some ground gain, that bothers me. It concerns me, worries me. Amen. Maybe I'm not as hungry as I ought to be. The writer of Psalm 63 knew nothing of this. He said, "Oh God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. My soul thirsteth for Thee. My flesh longeth for Thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is, that I might see Thy power and Thy glory as I have seen Thee in the sanctuary." He said, "Because Thy loving kindness is better than life." I like that. Amen. Because Your loving kindness, Your blessings, You, Lord, are better than life itself. Amen. Better than the air that I breathe. Amen. Better than the sustenance that I take into my body. Amen. Better than the blood that is pumping through my veins. You are better than life. He said, because of that, My lips shall praise Thee. Thus will I bless Thee while I live. I will lift up my hands unto Thy name. Oh man, he didn't know anything about this optional accessory bit. Amen. It wasn't optional to David. He said, my soul thirsts for Thee. My flesh longs for You. Amen. I could have You. You are better than anything, Lord. Better than life itself. In our text tonight, the psalmist expresses his deep longing and desire for the Lord. And I want us to notice three things about this desire. And I'm going to do my best to be done as quickly so we can pray and spend some time in the presence of the Lord. First thing that I want you to notice here is the nature of the desire. The nature of this desire. As the heart panteth after the water brook. I want to read you something that Spurgeon said. I thought this was good. He said it better than I did. Instead of stealing his stuff, I thought I'd just let him say it. Speaking of this one verse here, he says, after a long drought, the poor fainting hind or deer longs for the streams, or rather as the hunted hart instinctively seeks after the river to lave his smoking flanks and to escape the dogs. Even so my weary, persecuted soul pants after the Lord my God. Can you hear the heartbeat of David here? Can you see the picture that he's drawing? What he's likening it to? Debarred from public worship, David was heartsick. This was at a time when David couldn't show himself in Israel. Saul was after him. He was hiding out in the cave. He was down in the land of the Philistines. Amen. He was running for his life. He couldn't come to the temple and worship God. He couldn't offer his sacrifices. If he came within sight of the temple, he got even close to the city. Amen. Saul would have him killed. And so his heart was longing. Amen. After being debarred from public worship, David was heartsick. Ease he did not seek. Honor he did not covet, but the enjoyment of communion with God was an urgent need of his soul. I want you to get a hold of that. Amen. Look at the text. Notice the nature of the desire. Amen. It wasn't just, it wouldn't be too bad. I'd kind of like to have it. It's an urgent need of the soul. I mean, listen, that's what he said. He viewed it not merely as the sweetest of all luxuries, but as an absolute necessity, like water to a stag, like the parched traveler in the wilderness whose skin bottle is empty and who finds the well dry. He must drink or die. He must have his God or faint. His soul, his very self, his deepest life was insatiable for a sense of the divine presence. Give him his God, and he is as content as the poor deer, which at length slakes his thirst and is perfectly happy. But deny him his Lord, and his heart heaves, and his bosom palpitates. His whole frame is convulsed, like one who gasps for breath or pants with long running. Yet it's a sweet bitterness. The next best thing to living in the light of the Lord's love is to be unhappy until you have it. Let me read that again so you be sure and get a hold of it. How many was thinking of something else while I was reading that? Listen. It is a sweet bitterness. The next best thing to living in the light of the Lord's love is to be unhappy until we have it. In other words, the next best thing to getting your need met is wanting it met. Having a passion for it. The next best thing to being able to drink from the fountain of God and be in the presence of God is longing to be there. Thirst is a perpetual appetite and not to be forgotten. And even thus continual is the heart's longing after God. When it is as unnatural for us to long for God as an animal to thirst, it is well with our souls however painful our feelings, the nature of the desire. Amen. We're not talking about just a mere want. We're not talking about luxuries or accessories. I can do with it or I can do without it. Whatever might be, will be. Nah, just whatever. That's not what we're talking about here. It's not like wanting something that's unattainable and I can live without it. This is our most necessary need. David likened it to life itself. As the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. First of all, the nature of the desire makes the achieving of its goal an absolute necessity. The nature of the desire, I'm talking to you about the doctrine of spiritual desire, and the nature of this desire makes the achieving of its goal an absolute necessity. You've got to have it. If you don't have it, you're going to die. If you don't get in touch with heaven, and heaven get in touch with you, you're not going to make it. Oh, to long for it in that sense. Amen. To have a passion for it. Amen. You know, most of us get our necessary food. Most of us get more than what's necessary. Some of us are trying to cut back. I've lost 10 pounds thus far in about 2 weeks. I don't know, I actually haven't weighed in about 5 days, so I don't know how much I've lost now. But we're trying to get rid of some of it and push away from the table. But most of us get what we need. And when we get hungry, well, we satisfy ourselves. When we get thirsty, we go get something to drink. I mean, we got to have it. Most of us have probably never, I mean, there might be a few exceptions. I don't know all your situations. Most of us have never really been in a bad way as far as hunger thirst. Now, I'm talking about in danger of your life. The thirstiest I've ever been has been working out in the fields in the middle of summertime in Oklahoma. 100-degree weather, humidity, hot. I mean, you can't hardly breathe. And working out in that stuff, and I mean, you get thirsty. You sweat till your clothes are soaked. It's like you took a bath in them. And you just, I mean, you've got to have something to drink. Seems like you can't get enough to drink. But I've never been in danger in my life. David said, I'm in danger here. If I don't get something to drink from God, I'm going to die. Is that the nature of your spiritual desire? Is that the way that we look at God? Amen. Is it that thirst and that hunger we've got to have? Amen. It's absolute necessity. Secondly, the nature of the desire makes it a perpetual thing. Amen. You can drink, but I'm going to get thirsty again. I drink about a half a gallon of water a day, a little bit more. And I'm thirsty right now. I'd like to have a drink right now. Amen. Whenever I get done here tonight, I'm going to go get me something to drink. It's a perpetual thing. Amen. It goes on. You can slake your thirst and you can quench that. It ain't nothing does it like a good, cool glass of water. I mean, you're not thirsty until water is the only thing that you need. I mean, if tea or Coke or lemonade will do the trick for you, you ain't thirsty yet. Amen. When you get thirsty, only water will do, and you drink that water. Amen. And it just seems like it's soaking into your body. But you're going to get thirsty again. And the nature of this spiritual desire is that way. It makes it a perpetual thing. Amen. Once you've drank at the fountain, you've come to the altar of God, and you've drank there, and you've tasted of the good things of God, it ain't going to be enough. You're going to want to come back. You're going to desire more of it. Amen. As I quoted to you a couple of weeks ago, but may have been last week, A.W. Tozer said this in his prayer, "O God, I have tasted of Thy goodness, and it has both satisfied me and made me thirsty for more."
Amen. In other words, it has been exactly what I needed. It satisfied me. It's what I wanted. But it just made me hungry for more. Amen. It just made me desirous to have, amen, a little bit more. That's the nature of the desire. The spiritual desire. Thirdly, this nature of the desire, amen, lets us know that all is well with our soul. You can sing, it is well with my soul. And you can sing it real pretty. And I like that song. I like it the way we sing it here. I don't know if that's the way it's written. We oftentimes don't sing it exactly the way things are written. We got our own little arrangement. But I like it that way, and it's beautiful. But you can sing that, friend, but if you're not hungry and thirsty for God, all is not well with your soul. That hunger and that desire lets us know that everything's okay. That hunger, that passion for God, that desire to have more of Him lets us know that, things are well with our soul. It's when we get satisfied and we ain't hungry. And we could just as well do without. It's when we're in trouble. This morning or afternoon, 11 o'clock, 11:30 anyhow, I went in there. Was over at the Matterhorn Restaurant in Elkhart, Advance America, Eric Miller over there talking about things that affect the church and legislation and politics and all that kind of stuff. And was at that lunch there, and we went over there, and I was real nice, and just got a little bit of the stuff they had there, the meat. And but then they told us there's a lot more back there. Said you go get some if you want to. Don't want it to go to waste. So I went back there and got me some more of that roast beef. It's pretty good. But when I got done with that plate, I was done. I didn't want no more. I was finished. That's good enough. Give me another glass of tea, and I'll be finished. I'm fine. Bad thing when we get that way with God. We say, well, I've got all I want. I've got all I need. I'm fine. I'm sitting pretty. I'm okay with God. I'll make it to heaven just like I am. I don't need more of Him. Now, we might not ever say that. But you know, words ain't really that big a deal, are they? Actions speak louder than words. And if we come to the house of the Lord and we are given opportunity, we sing the old song, Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen ones, come and dine. Amen. And when we say, I'm not hungry tonight, Lord, I've had enough, I believe the Lord, and I'm hurrying, I promise you, I believe the Lord will ask you. You know, when I showed up to the table at home, when I show up to the table at home now, if I ain't hungry when I sit down there, my wife says, why not? Where you been? What you been eating on? Where'd you go? Who fed you? I let that sink in. If we're not hungry, we come to the Master's table. He wants to know where you've been eating. Why aren't you hungry? What have you been doing? Oh, talking about the nature of the desire. The nature of the desire lets us know everything is all right. Secondly, I've got to move along here. I want you to notice the object of this desire. He says here, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after God. My soul thirsteth for God. My soul thirsteth for God. What is it that we are hungry and thirsty for? Well, I need this or I need that. No, we need Jesus. Amen. Whatever I need, whatever is the need in my life, it is Him that I seek. Amen. Whatever I have need of, be it salvation. Amen. I don't seek salvation. I seek Jesus. Amen. If I need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I seek Jesus. Amen. If I need healing, I don't seek for the healing. I seek for Jesus. Amen. If I need deliverance, I don't seek for deliverance. I seek for Jesus. Why? Because He is the Savior. He is the Holy Ghost baptizer. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. Amen. We seek after Him. It is God that I'm seeking. That is what I'm hungry for. Amen. Oftentimes, that's why folks don't get their needs met, is because they're seeking a thing. They're seeking something. Amen. It's not something, it's someone. Amen. It's a person that we're after here. Amen. We could go preach all night on this, and I don't want to get too deep here. Amen. But too many times, it's an it that we're after. Amen. We're looking for a thing, an inanimate thing that in our lives, some blessing. Friend, we don't look for an it. We're looking for Him. Amen. It's a person. Amen. God is what we need. David didn't say, I'm hungry and I'm thirsty for deliverance. I want to have freedom, or I want to have peace, or I need joy, or whatever it was. No, he said, I need God. God is what I'm longing for. The seven redemptive names of God. Amen. What do they reveal to us? Amen. They reveal to us that He is the answer for everything we need. Not the need itself, not the thing, but God. Amen. That Jehovah Jireh. Amen. The provider. It's God that we are looking for. Not for the provision, not for the money, not for the clothes or the house or this provision. We're looking for God. Amen. Amen. This Jehovah Nisha, my banner. Amen. Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Jehovah Ra'am, the shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, the peace. Amen. Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah, He's there. Amen. His presence being there. Jehovah Tissanu, our righteousness. Amen. Those seven redemptive names reveal to us that God is what we are looking for. Amen. When we get hungry spiritually in our hearts and our lives, when we are thirsty, this spiritual desire, amen, it is for God. Oh, if we could get a hold of that, amen, if we could realize it is Him that we are looking for. He is the answer. For where He is, amen, He will meet the need. He'll take care of it. If I'm looking for an it, this one thing over here, amen, what about all these other things? I'll constantly have to be searching for all of these things. But if I have Him, I have everything. Amen. I don't have to run over here and run over there and run this place and that place. Anything more frustrating is having to go to 15 different places to get what you need. Run all over town. You got a project you got to get done at home with them honeydew list men. You're looking at that thing, you got to run half the day going here and there and yon to get what you need. You got to run to this place, and then you got to go to this place, and you got to go over here and get that, and got to go over there and get this thing. Can't find it all in the same place. Hey, man, that's why places like Myers and Super Walmart and all those things are such booming places, because you can go to one place and get just about everything you need. Amen. I'm not comparing Jesus to anything of a Meijer store or a Super Walmart, but friend, He is everything we need. He is the one-stop place. Amen. If we'll seek after God, you'll seek after everything that you need. The object of His desire was God Himself. He longed for His presence. He longed to be near Him. Oh, friend, I think that's what God's trying to get us to see. We oftentimes are so concerned with the need itself. Oh, I wish I had that, and I wish I had this, and I wish I could get that, and I wish I could... And God's saying, I wish you wanted me. Amen. God, I want you to give me that, and I want you to give me this, and He's saying, I wish you would just want me. I could give you all these things if you would just take me. Amen. If you were just hungry and thirsty for me, I'd give you all these things. Oh, but we run here and there. That's the devil, man. That's the devil's keenest trick. Amen. Gets us running here and there looking for this and that. We think we're spiritual all along. But listen, friend, let's get our eyes off the specific things that are here and there. Amen. And go to God and say, Lord, I need you. Amen. You come into my life and whatever I need, you take care of it. I am yours. Brother, if you can come to music, I'm going to head for a close with this. The last thing I want you to see, we've looked at the nature of the desire, the object of the desire, but I want you to see the confidence of this desire. David said at the last part of verse number 2 there, he said, when shall I come and appear before God? Now he didn't say, will I? Or if. Question is not if he's going to get to come before God. It's when. It's not a matter here of if it's going to happen. Friend, we have a confidence that we can walk boldly into the presence of God Almighty and we can have Him. My Bible teaches me, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and I'll take care of this other stuff. Oh, the confidence of this desire. David, he had all the confidence in the world. He's going to get it. This feeling that he had in his soul, this lack of, this wanting, this dissatisfaction in his soul, this thirst and his hunger. He had no question it was going to be met. He had no question that he's going to be able to drink and eat at the table of the master. There was no question that he was going to get what he was looking for. He just said, when? When's it going to happen? There's been those times I was kneeling down in prayer and some folks say, you know, the prayer, heavens are brass or didn't get past the ceiling. There's been a few times I didn't think they got above the altar. At least that's the way I felt. But I wasn't seeking a feeling. And I'm not trusting in that. I know even in those times when I struggle in prayer and it don't seem like anything is getting above head level, that everything I say just falls out and hits the ground. It's not a matter of if God is hearing me, or if He's going to meet my need, or if He's going to come down and commune with me. It's just when. I know He hears me when I pray. I know He's there even when I can't feel Him. Even when I struggle in prayer, I wonder, Lord, are you even here? Are you within 100 miles of this place? That's the way I feel. You don't have to look at me funny and look all pious. You felt the same way. Lord, I'm trying here. I seem like I can't get through. Even in those times, I know He is there. I know He's right beside me. I know He's hearing me. Even when I'm struggling through it, I know He's there. How do you know that, preacher? Same way I know He loves me. The Bible tells me so. Amen? You just pick a verse. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen? Draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. I mean, we can go all the principles all through the Word of God. The Bible, He's there. David said in the 139th Psalm, there ain't a place you can go that God's not there. You go to the depths of the sea, go to the mountain, go to the moon, even make your bed in the depths of hell. Amen. God's there. He never leaves us. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, the confidence of that. Oh, the confidence. Amen. That my desire, my hunger, my thirst is going to be met. As I worked in the fields back home, especially during the hoeing time, hoeing them watermelon rows, water cans stay at one end of the field. We'd hoe down, get a drink, come back, go all the way back again. We'd get another drink. And you talk about a motivation to get on down the road. There wasn't no leaning on the hoe and chatting with your neighbor. Well, let's get on down the road here. Let's get them weeds out and get down there where the water's at. I knew I was going to get some when I got there, just a matter of when. I just had to keep on. It's coming. We'd taken those big igloo jugs, dump a bag of ice in it, fill it up with water. They'd be sitting down there ice cold. Grab that thing, set it up on your shoulder, and hit that deal. Oh, man. That's better than out of a cup. Sometimes we was tired, we'd sit on the edge of the pickup bed and punch the button, just let it. Knew it was coming. Get down there and it was behind you going down, but when you can turn around, you look and see that red jug down there. Just keep going. Sometimes you're going to have to hoe a few rows. You have to press through some times in the altar. You have to cry out to God. Amen. Spend some time in prayer. We're so used to this microwave lifestyle that we've got. We want it right now. Flip the light and it comes on. Punch the button. It's cooked. Amen. We want it here. We want it now. We don't want to wait on it. And that's the way we've gotten with God. I want it now, Lord. And if you can't get me touched in 5 minutes and I'm down here praying, well, I guess you just don't want to give it to me. I'd like to have it, but you're just going too slow. I guess I'll have to wait till next time. Friend, it ain't that. It's just that we don't want it bad enough to tarry for it. Amen. We just don't want it bad enough to tarry for it. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen. We need to take time to be still and know that He is God. Amen. To take some time with the Lord and spend some time tarrying in prayer. You know, God could have baptized those disciples in the Holy Ghost the first day they was in prayer. But He didn't. It's about 10 days that they spent in prayer. Shut up in that upper room. Of course, they had a board meeting, which that might have been the reason. Had a business meeting, might have been the reason why the Holy Ghost didn't come. First church business meeting. Had to wait 10 days so the Holy Ghost could show up. But they had to wait on the Lord, had to tarry in His presence until. Amen. To wait on the Lord. Do we want it bad enough to wait on Him? Wait on the Lord. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. I want you to stand tonight. I trust tonight that you've not taken this hard. I've not been. I try to be hard or anything tonight. I'm trying to stir you up. Amen. Whet your appetite. Amen. Kind of get you to think a little bit. Amen. Am I really as hungry and thirsty as I ought to be? Do I really want God like I need to want Him? That'd solve a lot of problems in our lives. We just forget about stuff and say, Lord, I got to have You. I got to have You, Lord. I don't care about the problems. I don't care what things are doing. I don't care what people are doing. I don't care what my neighbors are doing. I don't care what they think, what they say. Lord, I don't have time for that. I've got to have You. I don't have time to get caught up in the church gossip. And there is church gossip, sad to say. Anytime you get two people together, you're going to have gossip. And you get a bunch of people together, and you sure enough are going to have it. That's just facts. You can get a bit out of shape about it. This is going to be there. You can go to the next church down the street. They're going to have it too. So, you know. And you can get caught up in that. But if you're really hungry for God, you say, Lord, I don't care about those things. It doesn't matter, Lord. I'm hungry for You. I've got to have You. problems that you've got facing in your life, the personal issues, the things that you're struggling with. Amen. If you can just take your eyes off the problem for just a little bit. Amen. And begin to turn your eyes on Jesus and recognize that there's the solution right there. All this time I've been focused on these problems and these circumstances and these issues of life. I've been focused on this, and Jesus is the answer. Jesus is what I need. He's the one that can fix this. He's the one that can take care of it. He's the one that can touch my brother and my sister. He's the one that can work out this circumstance that I don't know what to do with. Lord, I need You. Father, we thank You for Your Word tonight. Lord, my heart is stirred. Lord, I need You. I need You. We need You, Jesus. I pray, oh God, that You would do what only You can do by whetting an appetite in the heart of each and every one of these that are gathered here tonight. Father, as the heart pants after the water brook, so let our soul pant after Thee, O God. May there be a passion and a longing and a hunger for You and You alone. Oh, may You be the object of our desire, the object of our passion. May we want You more than we want anything else. More than we want anything else, Lord. More than we want our necessary food. More than we want money or recognition or ease or luxury or pleasure. More than anything else, Lord, may we want You. Hallelujah.
As the deer for the water, so my soul longeth after Thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. My strength,
yes.
My
yes.
Shield, to You alone may my spirit yield.
Hallelujah.
You alone are my heart's desire.
Hallelujah.
And I long to worship.
Let's sing that together. Make it your prayer.
As a deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after Thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship Thee. My strength, my shield,
to
You alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my
heart. Amen. Let's find us a place to pray. Sing it as you come.
And
amen. Make it your prayer.
To
hallelujah. Seek Him tonight.